There's that old school bell, and you know what that means. It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is lesson number 41. We only have 15 minutes, so don't be late for class. Get your Bible, pull up a chair, turn your radio up, and be turning to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 11. If you'll open your Bible to the middle, you'll probably find yourself in the book of Psalms, and then it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. If you go over to Jeremiah, you've gone too far, back right up, and get to Isaiah, and we'll be looking at chapter 1. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Our teacher is E.A. Elam, and the lesson we'll be looking at today is a lesson he wrote for Sunday schools back on May 7th, 1922. So if you were in Sunday school on the Sunday of May 7th, 1922, you are probably going to study this lesson. Now, this name of this lesson is Isaiah's Idea for a World at Strife. There's a couple of things I want you to notice. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, talks about the mountain of the Lord's house. Now, this is Isaiah 2. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And then in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, the mountain of Jehovah to the house of the God of Jacob. Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah. See how it's referencing that mountain? And then we'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 11, and in verse 9, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Those three verses there, all of them referencing the mountain of Jehovah or the holy mountain. Well, what is that? In prophetic language, particularly the way Isaiah uses this, the mountain is the kingdom. This is talking about the establishment of the Lord's kingdom. And it'll be above all the little hills, and so it'll be greater than all of the kingdoms of men. Daniel used a similar illustration, or used the word mountain in that way, in Daniel chapter 2, when he talked about the stone that came without hands, and it smote the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about. It smote that image in the feet, and it grew and became a mountain and filled the whole earth. Well, that's the days in which God is going to establish his kingdom that would go over all the world. And so the mountain is the kingdom. And that is what is going to tie this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, to the prophecy in Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. Now, this particular lesson has a devotional reading. And I want to read this to you. I'll be reading out of the American Standard Version, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her in that right early. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Jehovah. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in the hearth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's the devotional reading. Now let me read to you from Elam's Notes of May the 7th, 1922. In introducing this lesson, old Brother Elam said this: the subject of this lesson is Isaiah's ideal for a world at strife. Of course, it is understand that God speaks through Isaiah. Isaiah begins his prophecy saying, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Jehovah hath spoken," Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. So these lessons in Isaiah 2, 2 through 4, and in Isaiah 11, 1 through 9, are the declarations of Jehovah giving his way of bringing peace and goodwill to men on earth. This God declares would be brought about through the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, and his gospel. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God is the God of peace. The gospel is the gospel of peace. Christians are children of peace, and all are commanded to keep peace. Now for the explanatory notes. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Verses 2 through 4 of Isaiah 2 are almost the same as Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. In this verse, and in other places, the latter days refer to the reign of Christ. The latter days used by Peter in quoting the prophecy of Joel concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, which began on the first Pentecost after Jesus ascended, refer to the reign of Christ. The Temple of Solomon was built on Mount Moriah, and that was literally the mountain of Jehovah's house. But figuratively, and here, it represents God's spiritual temple, building our house. In Christ's day and under him, this mountain of God's house is established on the top of the mountains, or at the head, as it says in the margin of the King James Version, and exalted above the hills, that is, above all kingdoms and powers. And, as Daniel 2:44 adds, that it will stand forever. In verse 3, we see the last prediction of the preceding verse is, all nations shall flow into it. This verse continues this prediction saying, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. This is a prediction of the salvation of the Gentiles. All peoples and many nations are the Gentiles, the nations of the earth. This shows the willingness of the nations to learn and that they invite one another to hear the gospel, that God will reveal his will to all nations and is himself the teacher. God teaches all nations through Jesus, the great teacher. Jesus sent out his apostles to teach or to make disciples of all the nations, Matthew 28 and verse 19. To preach the gospel to the whole creation, Mark 16:15, and preach repentance and remission of sins in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, Luke 24 and verse 47. For out of Zion shall go forth the law,
and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. Years before Isaiah and Micah prophesied, the law of Moses had gone forth from Sinai, but both declare that in the future, from their time, in the latter days, the law should go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. Zion and Jerusalem are the same. Christians have not come into Mount Sinai as the Jews of old, but unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood and sprinkling of that speaketh better than that of Abel. Hebrews 12:18-24. When did the law go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem? In the latter days. When did they begin? When Christ's reign began. Hence, on Pentecost, after Christ's reign began, Peter declared that which had been predicted should come to pass in the last days was being fulfilled. Jesus told the apostles to begin to teach all nations and preach the gospel to the whole creation from Jerusalem. Luke 24:47-52, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and verse 8. From Zion, the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:21, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2, the law of faith, Romans 3:27, and the perfect law, the law of liberty, James 1:25, went forth, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem, when the apostles baptized in the Holy Spirit preached that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, although crucified by lawless men, had been raised from the dead, exalted to heaven, and made both Lord and Christ. And when they commanded all to believe this and repent and be baptized in the name of Christ unto the remission of their sins, with the promise that they should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, in Acts chapter 2. This was preached from Jerusalem unto the ends of the earth, and must be preached until the end of time. Through Christ, God would judge between great nations, and decide concerning strong nations afar off. Christ convinces the nations of error and sin, and has set in operation the true principles of righteousness, justice, and universal peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His birth was celebrated by the song of the heavenly host, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among men in whom he is well pleased." When all nations follow Christ, all those in all nations who follow Christ find peace with one another. And that is how peace does prevail. Under his reign, all nations, that is, all of those nations who come to him, would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and would not lift up sword against one another, neither would they learn war any more. All Christians are subject of Christ's kingdom, and they do not study war and how to wage war against one another, and neither do they use the carnal or the physical implements of war to advance the kingdom of God. Now, part two of Elam's notes talks about the shoot or the branch. And when we're talking about this, we're getting over into Isaiah chapter 11. It says there in Isaiah 11:1, "There shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch of his roots that shall bear fruit." We're going to have to return to Isaiah chapter 11 at the next session. The old schoolmaster would say, "You may now be dismissed."